come from a biology background, and I'm really interested in how you found biology research methodology implemented in internet art activities.
And I think for a long time after I quit being a biologist, I didn't feel an urge to go into this domain again, because I quit because I wanted to meet something else. But when you've been living a whole education in a certain kind of thinking, it sticks to you. Even if you leave it for a certain time, then after some time it comes back, and you, now I notice that it really made me what I am. So it's part of my way of thinking.
Because it seems that you're using web projects in a sense that you are trying to put out some kind of behavioral patterns of human beings.
I understand what you mean now, because that's one of the things what I think is special in internet art. It's not the only one, but it's a very specific medium in what you can make the behavior of people at the center of a work. So I think it came from Susanna Anker, who told us that every art medium has its own virtual object. And so painting has the three dimensions as its virtual object. So it's something what's very flat, but it talks about what is happening in the three dimensions. It talks about that. And the aesthetic meditation of a painting is about observing three dimensions. And I think internet art has as its virtual object the behavior of the person who is experiencing this web object. And how does it work? It's very simple. You click. Every click is a reaction. By every click you decide something. Every click is a behavior, and is putting the visitor in front of his own choice all the time. And what I try to do is not to make objects where you emerge, but I always try to do things that the visitor keeps a certain distance to what he's doing, or makes him aware of what he is doing.
With what kind of tool you make this distance?
For instance, I have a very simple web object that's called Don't Touch Me. You see a photograph of a lady lying down, and it says Don't Touch Me. When you open the page, a story is being told by this lady. What is everyone doing? You have a web page, so you try to click. So they are moving the mouse around, and then they click. Then the story stops, and there's a text saying, no, I told you, don't touch me, because the link is on the body of the lady. Then again, he waits a little bit, gets nervous, starts again looking for something to click, clicks again on the lady, and then she said, no, please don't touch me. After four times, she stops telling the story, she don't tells it anymore. So the visitor should be aware of what he's doing in order to, and he should be becoming aware of, if he wants to hear the story, he has to stop doing what he does in front of the screen all the time. He has to do nothing and just listen.
From the point of view of the observer, or the one who interacts with the internet page, there is a level of knowledge that they have to possess in order to be able to react to that. So with the lecture tomorrow, I had a sense that it's going to have also some level of didactical approach towards the audience with entering a certain web performance in order to be able to see how a web performance would behave, for example.
I think it's the same as with the biological part. I think it's part of me. Artists are very people who are acting very by intuition. If I did it all on purpose, I would be a teacher. I am sometimes a teacher, or I would be a writer, or I would be something else. But I think I'm an artist specifically because I do research not always by formulating hypotheses, but by having an intuition of where to go. And then I have to do it in order to know if I was right or wrong, and in order to formulate what was before. Mm-hmm. So it's more or less the other way around. But if you talk about being didactical, I think that is indeed from my biological background, having been in contact with scientific experiments. And I think maybe, and I just formulate this now for the first time while talking with you, is that maybe I transposed this way of looking at the world into the artistic world, but still not from the rational point of view, but from the intuition. And then comes back, in the end, comes back the old rational Annie, who tries to understand what she does and who tries to write about what she has been doing.
Mm-hmm. Talking formally, do you always do performances through a certain kind of institutional structure, or do you do it outside of this system?
I think I do both. First, in the beginning, internet is the place where you can not really communicate, but where the artist and his public can meet without someone who is the medium between them two. You don't need a gallery, you don't need anything at all. And so that's very important when you start working for the internet as an artist, because it makes it possible not to talk about art and to do art in the same time. And so your public is much larger, and a lot of them aren't even aware that what you are doing is called art, or that you call it art. Then later on, when you work, there is something like net art, art on the internet. It's not really recognized by the institutional world. So then there is a need for me to subsist, and also I feel a kind of missionary. So every time I go into the institutional world or to a gallery, I feel as if I am opening up a new territory. And not only by going to, because I'm coming from a painter's background and an installation background, so it's contemporary art, but it's also going to other worlds, like we did with the Opera Internetica project, what we did with Igor in Montpellier. We went to the traditional opera world. Now I'm doing a project, a book. I'm going to see traditional editors and publishers to try to do to a book about what is writing on the internet and what is new about it. So I'm always trying to find places to mix them up, to have them contaminating one world the other.
I believe that somehow galleries also serve as a kind of medium where you can promote a certain kind of action, which would not be possible only when placing it on internet. And how do you provide that? Is just coincidental, or do you?
There were several things. First of all, there is the contact, and it's the people I know for a long time that are on internet that I contact. Then there is, for instance, the web performances I'm doing with Panoply. Panoply is an institution in Montpellier who is defending internet art in the contemporary art domain. It's an institution on the internet, I'd say, because it's funded by the government. They have a certain access to places where you don't have as a individual artist. They also provide a certain legitimation of net art. And that's how you get more public from the institutional art world. And it's also the interesting part of going into galleries for me. And in all my work, what I do changes depending on the circumstances. So a work in a gallery won't be exactly the same as the same work presented in front of, let's say, students.
If we look at the history of performance art, it offers the immediacy of experience, which could be documented, but still the action is really time-based. So with internet, what is the role of the immediacy of the live streaming in comparison to what comes afterwards as a documentation of the work?
I think it's the same as it was in the 60s and the 70s. There is not really a difference. You have the experience and you have the documentation. But what changed is video in the meantime. We have video now. And video has become a real medium. So sometimes we do performances with the idea in the head that it will be a video. And in my work it's very strong, especially in the latest series where there are two streams together that I call double bind, because by putting two streams they are pasted together, you create a surface where two people who are distant in space can interact with one another in that surface, but you also create one image made of two parts. So you oblige two people, when they are looking at what they are doing, to create one image from two. So you create a space where they have to work together, where they create the image. So while they're during the performance, they are not only performing, but they are creating the video also. So that's maybe what's really different from what happened in the 60s. There's also, while doing the performance, you are creating an image because you're looking at the same time at your stream during the performance. And it's not only the now and there, but it's also the future you're making.
How about the viewer, the change in the experiences of the viewer, what they could look at live performance could be pretty much similar in point of view of the experience of the viewer as documentation, or does it change? Is it interactive? Or
it depends. It depends on how you organize it. In the whole double bind series, and before I did another series from 2006 and 2007 that was called Breaking Solitude, and that were meetings on the internet. And I call these meetings, double binds are still meetings, because there's a chat window beside the performance part. So artists are performing in the stream windows, and at the side there's a chat window. Mm-hmm. So there's always something double happening. For some visitors in the chat window, the performance is not more as an excuse to be there and to talk to other people. And it depends on how the performance interacts with the chat or not, what is happening.
In this kind of sense, you form a kind of social web.
Yeah, and what we also do is, when we archive these performances, we only keep some some screens, prints, so some images of the performance, and we keep the text of the chat, so the log file. So the only thing what for us will be eternal is the text spoken by the non-artists, by the visitors. And two things are happening while doing that. Sometimes I think it's a little bit perverse, because I give the artist who is performance a lot of freedom, because he knows nothing will be kept if he doesn't want it from his performance. But at the same time, I put him in a situation where what will be left of his performance, he cannot influence it, because it will be what the visitors will say during the performance. So that's creating a new and maybe for some artists difficult situation.
Which projects are you going to emphasize, and what is going to be the role of immediately entering the web performance?
I will talk in the beginning about performance experience. I will explain a little bit what double bind is. I will I can't show any videos of the double bind performances that were before, but I will talk about them. And then at a certain moment, because at the same time, at 8:30, there will be a double bind performance done by Renee Turner, and she's a member of the Geuzen. It's a feminist critical group of women who are looking at women, the internet, the interaction, and these kind of things. And she's also a hypertext narrative writer. She has both sides of her. So she's doing a performance. I'm organizing this, and I've been in all the performances until now. So I would like to visit at least 5 minutes of this performance and participate in it while the public at can be part of it, can look at it. But we won't stay a very long time because I don't want to interfere with the performance like it's normally going on.